Hello, and welcome to NDT Now's podcast, GAIN, exploring topics in NDT which affect your business. I'm your host, Mary Beth Michelli. Today's podcast is brought to you by Edify Technologies, the world leader in advanced non-destructive testing solutions designed to always keep you beyond current. For more information, visit edify.com. On today's podcast, we have Ricky Morgan from Flawtech here to talk about new advances in flawed samples for NDT calibration. Ricky, thanks for being here today.
Well, thank you, Mary Beth. It's always a pleasure to get a chance to talk to you.
So, Ricky, before we talk about Flawtech, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your NDT career for like our five listeners who don't know you?
Sure, I'd be glad to. Well, right after I got out of the Army in 1987, I went to the College of Oceaneering and studied commercial diving and NDT. And right out of dive school, I thought I was going to go into diving, but NDT was a better proposal, and I got to stay in California instead of going back to the Gulf of Mexico, where I just left from the Army at Fort Polk. So I spent a long time in doing the field service industry. I've been involved with AS&T since 1990. Got my first level two or level three in 1992, and been heavily involved with AS&T. Most of my career have been a past president, past chairman, and serve on a lot of committees. And now I've got one of the best jobs, I think, in the world. I get to use all my field service experience to help develop flaws instead of trying to find flaws.
So, and that's something probably a lot of people don't know about in the NDT industry, or they don't really think about it unless they're doing a calibration. And even then, they don't realize how those samples are made, or who makes them, or why they're making them exactly. So, can you tell us a little bit about Flawtech and what you all do there?
Sure. It's actually, we've been making flaws here at Flawtech. Now we're on our 41st year, and it still amazes me. Like you said, we go to conferences and stuff, and somebody says, "Oh, I've never heard of you." But we were actually born out of the performance demonstration testing protocols at EPRI, where George Fargo came from, and that's how we started getting into developing specimens, particularly for the nuclear industry. And as it has grown and continued to service, we service all the industries now, oil and gas, marine, space, infrastructure, pretty much can name anything. We just did some work for a tractor company not too long ago, but we've expanded our keep expanding our library and our flaw specimens for every industry we come across that happens to find us or we find them. And the last 10 years or so, we've really been trying to specialize in industry specific, code specific, and trying to improve the training and qualifications of personnel within NDT.
And you guys, in that vein, you have put together various kits that pertain to different specifications in different sectors. Is that correct?
That is correct. One of the first early kits they developed was a kit specific to the API. The QUTE and different stuff for API. We've also developed special kits for training and for the IQS oil and gas sector for AS&T as well. We've developed training kits for CWI visual, preparing for CWI. And the first kit I got to work on, I was working for a service company at the time, but we were developing a kit to comply with D18 for the seismic requirements for NDT specialists. And most recently, we did some for the bridge kit. We did a D15 kit. And some of the new stuff that we're coming up on now that we're really excited about is we're going into materials we're not familiar with as much, but we're doing some composites now. And we're actually starting to do some concrete type specimens as well.
That's really great. And I think that some of the work that's come out in the last 5 years that's really showed the difficulty of taking technicians from one sector and putting them in another sector and still having, the same level of probability of detection or just the same level of quality of the inspections. It's really shown that that's really difficult. And I think it speaks to the importance of what you guys are doing so that you can get a really good understanding of whether people are able to do an inspection to a specific specification on a specific material, and what are those, you know, connections details look like, and how should they approach that? And I think it's really important to have that specificity given the level of difficulty of making that sector shift.
Oh, I think that's really true. I mean, a lot of the physics and the other things are the same, but the modes of failure and what you're looking for are different, and where you look for those kind of things are different, especially in service. And fabrication is fairly similar across the board to some extent, but when you get into in service, you see unique problems to virtually every industry that they only have those flaws within that industry, and you got to know where to find them and what they look like in whatever NDT method you're looking at. If you're looking at phased array, you got to know how it looks like in phased array. If you're doing conventional, you got to know how it looks in conventional. I think performance demonstration testing is a good way for service companies to validate their personnel to ensure when they come from somewhere else, you may not need to give them another type of test. The other test may be fine, but to ensure that they can do the job that you need them to do is what's important. And according to your customers, gives the customers assurance as well.
Absolutely. So you mentioned a composites kit, and I'm very interested to hear more about that, because I think a lot of the calibration kits that are out there and a lot of the calibration specimen, people think steel or aluminum or, you know, more on the metallic side. So can you tell us a little more about the composites kit?
Yeah, the composites John has been trying to develop a composite kit for about a decade now. And what happens a lot of times when we try to partner with different companies to do things like that, they somehow doesn't get the fact that we are not putting anything in service. These are only for props, basically for training. And so a lot of times we've went to several composite, but they didn't want their name associated with making bad things on purpose or making bad product. So it takes us a while sometimes to partner with the right one. We found a very good one in the state of Michigan that we're working with, and it was really interesting. We started out with a beta program. We took a lot of input from the industry, from different people that work around composites and what they're familiar with, and we were looking for a really basic kit to get a lot of different types of samples in front of people. So we have 8 different specimens in there. We have 4 different types of cores, different thicknesses of laminate, and things like that, to try to just give a good general kit to get people orientated to doing composites. And we've also launched 5 what we call practical pieces or practical exams, where they're more specific and have different things like impact damage. And we have a 9-hole flat bottom hole, so you can see different holes at different depths. So we're already starting to enlarge our library, and that's what happens, is we start with a starter kit and then we work our way into a certain area. And we've already got some interest from the Air Force already and some other places. So it's we launched it at the fall conference this year in Nashville, and it was a really good hit. We were really happy with it. And the feedback from the industry when we sent out our 3 betas out to get tested was awesome. They gave us a lot of good feedback, and we were able to adjust it and make a better kit, I think.
That's really great. And it's funny about finding that partner, because people don't realize that in order to make a flawed sample, you actually have to be more, you know, adept in making samples, right? Like, you have to go above and beyond just making a good sample to make a flawed sample where you know what you want to have in there as a flaw. It's
yes.
Counterintuitive, but it's funny.
Yeah, it's really funny. We have very good welders, and that's most of our welders have come from working in the field for a long period of time, have been on the road for long periods of time, and they're now ready to sit down and just weld and go home at night, kind of thing. And it takes a different mindset to intentionally put in slag or to intentionally put in porosity, and then to for us to able to use our technique to get those to the proper sizes, and then do the mechanical measurements to make sure the flaws that we intended are there and the other areas of the weld are clean, so that there are no unintended flaws. But we do get some customers that do want us to put additional unintended flaws that are closer to being acceptable to make it a little more challenging for them. But then other, training, they want a certain amount of really clean areas between each flaw so that they have an opportunity to do grading segments and things like that. As you get more into the specific and qualifying personnel, you have to do that. But for training, getting preparing for the field, you can make them as difficult as you want, or whatever you want your personnel to be. We can make the flaws that size pretty much.
That's awesome. Well, and near and dear to my heart then, my understanding, you mentioned that you have a concrete kit that you are developing or have developed. And so for somebody who works in the transportation industry, that's really exciting because, we're dealing with very large structures that it's hard to quantify how much damage is actually in there, and you don't really get to know until they take it out of service or until you take a core sample. So I'm really interested to hear more about that one.
Yeah, it's not a very large, it's kind of a minimized, it's a miniature deck specimen. It's got, it has rebar, it has the lows and the highs, and it's going to have some conduit through it. It's going to have some laminations, some porosity or non-consolidation and different things like that in there. As designed by the person we're working with right now, we're going to probably work on our own sample. What's really important in this particular specimen, or any of the concrete specimens, is the type of concrete we're using, so that it has the good acoustical properties that simulate what's actually out there in the field. This particular one we're doing is based on a high early, about a 5,000 PSI mix that will reach its full capacity around 28 days. But we can start moving it around 3 days because it's coming to strength pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. And looking at, the delaminations and the corrosion and all of that stuff that we see out in the field, it's just so hard to simulate. It'll be really exciting for our industry to take a look at what you guys have done and see how we can give feedback and go back and forth with some of the issues. Especially different parts of the country have different issues. So some of them have alkali silica reaction over in, the mid-Atlantic states. And how is that going to, is that something that we can simulate and take a look at? And I assume the conduit's sort of for utility detection.
Utility. Yes. And we also have a post-tension cable duct in there as well. I forgot about that.
Oh, one. Great.
Some will have a cable and part of the tube will have a cable and some of it won't.
That is really excellent. And some of the issues were, we look in the transportation industry, we look for voids in the PT duct of voids, right, of grouting. But sometimes we get, you may know that we had some grouting issues where maybe there's no void, but the grout itself had higher than desired chloride content and was causing corrosion of the PT. So it would be interesting to simulate something like that as well. And I can see how this would be used not just for NDT, but maybe for structural health monitoring too. Just because, that's my thing.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. We can figure out a way to flex it, maybe.
So that's very exciting. So what, when is that coming out?
Our first production piece is expected to be out towards the end of February.
Oh, great. So soon.
Pretty soon.
That's excellent. Excellent. I think certainly, People in the bridge preservation world will be interested to see how that all moves forward and how new technologies can be proven out on something like that.
Oh, absolutely. I primarily spent most of my time with steel, but I was on lots of projects where we had concrete and stuff like that. I always thought it was very interesting, but I stayed away from it a bit because it was, I don't know, it just wasn't comfortable. There's always a lot of commotion when concrete pours happen.
Yes. And I feel like, metallic
It's
structures
organized
are a
me
little
up.
more predictable, a little more understood in general, so I agree as a metallurgist.
Concrete pours are organized chaos when they happen.
So is there anything else that you guys are working on, or bringing to the market that you want to tell our listeners about today?
Well, actually, we are kind of working on some more penetrant type specimens that are more addressing the wet fluorescent penetrant or fluorescent penetrant for like tanks and things for aerospace. So they require a better surface condition because of the background tends to be a problem with our normal finish that we have on some of our for visible dye. It's so we've been working on developing some more towards the aerospace or those vendors that have to use do finish parts. Maybe automotive as well, maybe some of those kind of parts that come through there. So we're working on that. We've been trying to source some aircraft parts that have been taken out of service because they've timed out. They're not serviceable condition, but they're still intact. So we're looking for some of those to order and purchase and then install flaws and then market those as we get them.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And I imagine in the future, probably not right now, but in the future, you guys will have to start looking a little bit about what to do about additive manufacturing.
We've actually done a few samples for additive manufacturing. Mostly this has been we've just been mostly doing notches right now. It's really hard for us at this point in time to leave the surface. The 3D surface is kind of different. You can't it's very hard to look. We embed these flaws in some way or another, and it's hard to exit and leave it like we weren't there. It's hard to disguise where we were, where other surfaces are much easier to replicate. But we have been doing some work with a couple service co or not service companies, manufacturers. We've been making some samples for HTHA, which is high temperature hydrogen attack. And we've been able to simulate stage two and stage three. Stage one is a little bit too small for us. It's more in the scanning microscope type of size of flaws. We can't really control those electron microscope type of findings, so we can't find that stuff that small. But we are able to manufacture. So far, we've been pretty good at doing two and three. So that's a new thing we haven't been able to do. It's very similar to our stretched corrosion cracking that we have been mastering for a while, but it's sometimes embedded within the mid wall or different places wherever the hydrogen egress goes to.
That's really great. Lots of interesting stuff going on with you guys. And I think it's something that people don't generally think of until they really have to. And even
Yes,
then they
I
go,
agree.
okay, I just need a sample. But I think especially as somebody like me who works with emerging technologies, there's a real opportunity there for having in-person demonstrations to different customers at conferences, that sort of thing as well. In addition to training, because again, especially when you're working with new technologies, your technology is only as good as the person using it. So it's really important to get that training correct, especially on newer technologies where you don't have certification, you don't have certain standards that are out there yet.
Right. Yeah, I remember working with you on a few of those things over the years.
So, well, I know you and your team over at Flawtech have made a tremendous impact on the industry, and you're going to continue to do so. It's really exciting to hear what you guys are doing. And I really just want to thank you for joining us today, and we'll be keeping an eye out on what you guys are doing, and maybe we'll have a follow-up as you guys continue with the concrete and some of the other kits that you have going on, and we'll keep updating our listeners.
Well, that sounds great. We've got some more stuff coming up on the horizon, I'm sure. It's usually only a phone call away. It's all driven by our customers. They really dictate what we need to do to some extent. And it's great working with most of them. We're all working for a common goal of creating good quality in whatever products we're working on.
Yeah, sounds like a great work environment as well.
Yeah, it's funny. We've got a longevity. Our employees, we have a 10-year average right now, people retention. So that's pretty good for a fab shop.
That's really good for these days as well. So everybody seems to be moving around. So that's really great to hear. So, Ricky, thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us.
No problem. It's always a pleasure. I really like what NDT Now is presenting to the society, to our group.
Well, thank you. And thank you all for listening today. Remember to join us every month here at ndtnow.com, brought to you by Edify Technologies. Learn more at edify.com.